Well, I want to welcome each and every one of you to North Umpqua Bible Fellowship, and I hope that you're here tonight with people that you love, family and friends, maybe even those you don't usually get to see as much as you'd like. If so, cherish this time where you can enjoy that fellowship. It is truly one of God's best gifts. And it's part of the reason that we meet here in church every week. Because it's good to be surrounded by people that you love. And look how blessed we are to live in such a beautiful place as Glide, surrounded by God's mountains and trees and rivers. Maybe this time of year you have a tree in your home, sparkling with lights and ornaments. Perhaps you've had a special dinner or are looking forward to one tomorrow. Then there's the anticipation of giving and receiving gifts. And if you have children in your home, that part's all the more exciting. Many of us keep family traditions this time of year, a special food or drink, a good old movie, story time around the fireplace. These are fine things, and I pray that you would enjoy them to the fullest. Now, our family and our home is filled with joy again this year, as we have a new grandson, Kalen, and our other grandson, Wyatt, is 2 now, which raises expectations for some pretty adorable moments over the next few days. And God knows we are very grateful. But for some of you, I imagine this time of year carries with it a measure of loneliness and pain. Perhaps you've lost a child or a parent, a spouse, or a sibling, or a dear friend. It might be your first Christmas without your beloved, or it might be the 5th one or the 10th. I don't think it gets any easier missing the ones we love, especially this time of year. Some of you might be struggling with health issues, and of course, we're all getting older. Perhaps you're wondering if this is going to be your last Christmas. I pray it isn't so. It could be that you're estranged from your family and memories of happier times are weighing you down. It's possible that you've been overwhelmed by the demands of the season. You feel exhausted, underappreciated, and your budget has taken a beating. It's true, we are surrounded by beauty, but also disappointment and tragedy. Accidents in our own little town have taken the lives of young people this year, young people filled with hope and promise, and it just doesn't seem fair. There is certainly much in the world to anguish over. Poverty, war, prejudice, injustice. And if you're living a life without Jesus, despair over the condition of the world seems to be a perfectly reasonable state of mind. Despair is defined as the complete loss or absence of hope. And the simple truth is, we all have a sense of eternity within us. God put it there. We all seem to understand that time stretches infinitely in both directions, behind us and ahead of us. And we know that our place on that infinite timeline is but a small trace, with a definite beginning and a definite end. So it is that we live each day with the prospect of death tugging at our sleeve. And the older we get, as the aches and pains start to become more numerous and more frequent, we may pine for younger days when we were more nimble. But as time goes by, that tug on our sleeve gets a little more firm. We can imagine a life after death and fill it with all of our best expectations, but without some foundation. These are nothing more than wistful aspirations. The Bible says essentially the same thing if we struggle through life with no more than human hopes, what have we gained? If Jesus was never born and never crucified and never raised from the dead, then there is no resurrection for any of us. No eternal life after death. In which case, we might as well just eat, drink, and be merry. Because for all we know, tomorrow we may die. And if we have no more than human hopes, then that's where it all ends. That really is all there is. So allow me to say it again. If you're living a life without Jesus, despair over the condition of the world is a perfectly reasonable state of mind. If Jesus is just a character that somebody made up and he isn't real, if the story of Christmas is just a myth or a legend and it never actually happened, then bitterness and disappointment and despair seem to be perfectly reasonable responses. You know, I feel like life itself demands that we consider the reality of eternity and our place and purpose in the universe. On the other hand, many people don't consider these matters much at all. Everybody seems so busy these days. We're flooded with so much news and information, we can scarcely decide what merits our attention. And distractions are everywhere, all the time, competing for our attention and our resources. So it's no surprise that when it comes to Christmas, we often feel pulled in many different directions. Expectations seem to mount from all corners of our lives, and the fear of disappointment casts a long shadow on our frail hopes. Who has time to consider the reality of eternity and our place and purpose in the universe? Well, beyond Santa and his reindeer, eggnog and fruitcake, the trees and the wreaths and the twinkling lights, there is a part of Christmas that invites us to slow down and take some time to reflect. And since you're here tonight, let's take this opportunity to do exactly that. To adopt a worshipful posture, shutting out the distractions, and recall the greatest story ever told. It's the story of how God loved the world so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, born in a manger such a long time ago, to live among us and die for us, so that we may live with him forever, if only we believe. Now that's why I love Christmas, because I love to hear the story told. For those who don't believe, it may seem like foolishness, probably does, that people gather together every year about the same time to recount some old fable about the little baby Jesus. But for those who know and love Jesus as their Savior, it's not foolishness at all. For it was on that Christmas, the first Christmas so long ago, that God demonstrated his love for the world in giving us his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So it is that Jesus is the most perfect expression of God's love for us. He is the certain hope of eternal life for all who believe. That is the gospel of our salvation. That is the good news that was announced for all the people. And that's an amazing story that we never get tired of hearing or telling. It's true, this world is full of disappointment and tragedy and poverty and war and prejudice and injustice. And if you're living a life without Jesus, despair over the condition of the world is perfectly reasonable. But of course, living that way can leave a person feeling bitter and angry, which only fuels more disappointment. But thankfully, that's not all there is. There is hope. There is hope of eternal life because Jesus was born in a manger and he did die on a cross. He sacrificed his life to pay the penalty of death, a penalty our sins had earned, and he did it so that we could be at peace with a holy and righteous God. He made it clear that we're all sinners in need of forgiveness. Therefore, no matter where we come from, whether rich or poor, great or small, we must each approach God, if at all, as humble sinners with a repentant heart. On the cross, Jesus bore the sins of all mankind, and he paid the ransom price to set us free so that we could stop boasting about our own righteousness and be at peace with each other. In life, he brought us joy and showed us how to live. In death, he displayed his perfect love and the power to forgive. In rising from the dead, he made clear the path of peace, that we too might defeat death by trusting in him who conquered death itself. In his birth that we celebrate here tonight, he gave us hope and a reason to have faith. In him, there is hope that we will once again see believing loved ones who have gone before us. In him, there is hope that pain and suffering and loss and disease will one day no longer plague us. In him, there is hope that damaged relationships can be restored and that we may walk together in love and forgiveness. In him, there is hope that when we finally do get to heaven, we will know forever the perfect joy of an unbroken and unhindered relationship with God. And these aren't mere human hopes, for they are grounded in the faithful truth of God's own word. If you are here tonight and you're already a believer, I pray that your heart is filled with the hope and the joy and love and peace that lie at the heart of the true Christmas story. If you're feeling pain of loss and loneliness this Christmas season, I pray that God's grace is sufficient for you. And if you've simply come here tonight as a matter of good habit or tradition, please know we are happy to have you. Perhaps you'll consider coming again. We'd love to welcome you back. You know, we set aside time every Sunday to consider the reality of eternity and our place and purpose in the universe. But whatever you came to find here tonight, I pray that you found it and more. I pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to draw you closer to God. And as we prepare to return to our homes tonight, many of us will engage in that traditional practice of giving and receiving gifts. A tradition no doubt rooted in the gift of eternal life that was wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger in that little town of Bethlehem so many years ago. You see, the Bible teaches us that salvation is ours by grace through faith in Jesus. It is not the result of our own good works. It is the free gift of God. But as we know from experience, in order to be complete, a gift must not only be offered, it must also be accepted. It must not only be given, it must also be received. Now, sometimes human relationships are so broken that even gifts thoughtfully given are not well received. Indeed, some gifts are refused even before they are opened. Sometimes it's that way between people and God. The bitterness and disappointment that folks feel in life may come to rest on God, even though they have little regard for God otherwise. The loneliness and pain of lost and broken relationships may be propped up as proof that God doesn't exist, or if he does exist, then he's not very nice. But the Bible teaches that it's our own sins and trespasses that have broken the relationship we were created to have with God. We are the ones who've turned away. He gave us free choice, and we've chosen to reject him and to go our own way. He gave us the breath of life, and we've used it to curse him. Even so, God loves us. And the proof of his unconditional love is found in the ancient story of hope that we share each Christmas. For while we were yet sinners, God sent Jesus to die for our sins. He didn't wait for us to come to him. He didn't wait for us to make the first move. He sent his only son to suffer and die once for all so that we would not have to suffer and die forever. He reached out and offered us the free gift of eternal life. But like all gifts, in order to be perfected, it must not only be offered, it must also be received. So if you're here tonight and you've already received the free gift of eternal life by grace through faith in Jesus, then let us rejoice together, for God is faithful and he will fulfill his promises. But if you're here tonight and feel far from God, draw near. Confess your sins to him. Place your faith in Jesus and be forgiven. Now, it isn't going to make all the disappointment and tragedy disappear. It isn't going to solve all the world's problems of poverty, war, prejudice, and injustice, but it will change the way we think about those things, and it may well change what we do about them. After all, if you're living a life without Jesus, despair over the condition of the world is perfectly reasonable. But when you put your faith in Jesus, you become a child of the living God. And faith in Jesus comes with a promise that he will return in glory to set things right. And then we will live with him forever. Now that's far more than mere human hope giving way to wistful aspirations. By faith in Jesus, we can live with hope that goes beyond ourselves and beyond the moment. By faith in Jesus, we can live at peace with God and each other. Forgiven and restored, children of our Heavenly Father. By faith in Jesus, we can know a joy that is far greater than mere happiness. And we can love in a way that looks past self and puts others first, where we can offer our very lives to God as a willing sacrifice that he can use to bring others to saving faith. So if you've already believed in Jesus, be filled this Christmas with the hope and the peace and the joy and the love that we have in Christ. But if you have not yet believed in Jesus for eternal life, perhaps it's because you don't clearly see your own need. Darkness can be funny that way. It can keep us from seeing the very thing we need and don't have. So we end up with that feeling of deep and abiding need for something that we can't even describe. Remember, the Advent candles shine outward from the center, which is Christ. And so if you allow him to be at the center of your life, his hope, peace, joy, and love will emanate from you to others in mercy and compassion and kindness and humility. So let these things illuminate the dark corners of your soul this Christmas. Welcome Jesus into your life and see yourself in a new light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your only Son Jesus to sacrifice himself so that we might be saved. Help us to shine your hope and peace and joy and love into the world around us. And if there are any here this evening who have not yet trusted Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life, draw them to yourself, Lord, so that they too might come to faith and receive the gift that is waiting for them. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.